Welcome to the Beverage Click Podcast, discussions revolving around drinks with an Asian perspective. I'm your resident host, Sean Oh, certified beverage specialist and co-founder of the Beverage Click Academy in Singapore. And here is this month's episode.
What's up, drinking comrades, and welcome back to another episode of the Beverage Click Podcast. For this episode, we have the privilege of having Mr. Philippe Blanc, who is the managing director for Chateau Béchavel, who is located in the commune of Saint-Julien of Bordeaux. Hello, Philippe.
Hello, nice to see you, Sean. Yeah, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure having you on air. How's your trip to Singapore so far? I mean, has it been interesting or, you know, how's it been?
It's just the beginning of it. Okay. A very pleasant flight, and I'm delighted to be back. We were here in July, and I'm extremely happy to be back in Singapore, where we've got many friends and many wine lovers. So it's a great privilege to be welcomed by you and all others in Singapore.
Yeah, interesting. So you actually back in, July was your last trip here. So
absolutely.
Oh, so you pretty much a frequent flyer to Singapore already.
That's a place of many. You can find good food and good wines and people who are interested. So we're happy to come and visit.
I'm very happy to have you as well.
Thank you.
So today we're going to talk obviously a little bit more about your company, Chateau Béchavel, as well as the various projects that you've been involved in. But could you maybe just share a little bit about your own background and maybe about the company's background as well? Maybe, you know, on a personal basis, you know, what do you do for the company and your involvement?
Okay, so I'm currently a general manager of the Chateau Béchavel, with a company, what we say in France, a small company, but with about 55 or 60 permanent workers. So I'm in charge of making sure that everything's doing fine and nothing happens wrongly, technically or administratively or for any other reason. I've been at Béchavel for many years now. I'm getting in the team of the old ones, as I've been starting in Béchavel in 1995, so 27 years ago.
Wow, that's a long time.
A long time, with no progress. I started like that, and I will be finishing like that. But being happy, I'm a winemaker, a graduated winemaker, and agronomist. I've done only one thing in my life, viticulture and winemaking. So that's the only thing I can do. And I hope I will finish like that for the time being, the few years remaining with Béchavel. Yeah. As far as Béchavel is concerned, that's a reasonably famous chateau, large in terms of surface scale, around 90 hectares on the vines, which produce then in good years around 500,000 bottles of red wines. Altogether, that's around 500,000 bottles. We have got two sister companies. One is another chateau nearby, 4 kilometers away, and that's Chateau Beaumont. Cru Bourgeois, au Médoc Cru Bourgeois, a large estate of 100 hectares, making extremely good value for money wines. And then we've got another actor, who can't put it on the table, who is a merchant, a négociant in Bordeaux, who is selling the wines, of course, some of our wines, a part of our wines, not all our wines, but many other wines of other estates, as they sell more than 85% of their business is to sell classified growth. And we belong to two large family owners. One for over 30 years is Japanese company, and it's called Suntory. Japanese company owning as well our neighbors and friends of Chateau Lagrange in Saint-Julien as well. And again, it's not a new thing. Suntory has been with us since 89, so over 33 years. And 11 years ago, they were joined by another partner and their co-owners, and that's Pierre Castel family. So Pierre Castel is a company owned by Pierre Castel and making a big business around wines, being number one in Europe for wine. And other businesses, especially around beer as well, but in Africa. So that's the two owners, and I've got the privilege to be trusted by them, and I'm in charge of making sure everything runs smoothly for Beaumont and for Béchavel.
Fantastic. Well, in in Asian context, we call that loyalty, even though, you know, you've been such
a... We think it's very important. Loyalty is very important.
Yeah, yeah, it's a very good virtue, I believe so. I assume that the Asian market is still very big for Bechevel as a company.
Well, of course, it's important for Bechevel. Asia is important for the world. We say that the world leans towards Asia today. The population, when you look at the global population, Asian population is huge, and it's a good place to be in Singapore to know that wealth is important in Asia as well. And where you have wealth and population, you may have interest for nice products, luxury items, and of course wines. Bordeaux wines is a big, Asia is a huge market for Bordeaux wines. Generally speaking, we can consider half of Bordeaux wines, from the very little tiny one to the most famous one, is going to Asia. And for Bechevel, it's a very important market, what we call Greater China. Greater China is, of course, China, mainland China, but of course, Hong Kong, but of course, Singapore, but of course, all the countries around where our customers are mainly, most of them are Chinese people. Mm-hmm. And so it's very important. Then I take the opportunity, because I'm loyal, but I'm frank as well, to say it's important, but we want to be a worldwide known product, and we don't focus all our efforts about Asia. We focus our efforts about the rest of the world as well. And so we don't spare any efforts to be known and to be appreciated in France or in UK or in Germany. But we are extremely happy and extremely proud to have aficionados and to have wine lovers in Singapore, in Hong Kong, in China, and everywhere.
Yeah, well, your recognition is really global. I'm very, very sure of that. And, you know, I'm sure being part of the 1855 classification, there's a prestigious classification that always helps. Well, are there any challenges still, you know, with pressure being part of the classification that you need to endure, or, you know, any form of nuances that you need to keep up with?
So, you know that MEDOC is what we call the MEDOC classification, made in 1855. So it seems to be very long ago and maybe a little bit outdated. But in my opinion, it's a recognition of the quality of the wines of the past. But dare I say to people who would ignore that or doubt of that, that I don't think there are many examples of great wines of today which were not great wines of the past. And you've got a few top wines of today which were maybe ranked a little bit lower when compared with what they would be. Bechevel might be part of that. It's arguable, but Bechevel is ranked fourth classified growth amongst the 61 growths in this classification. And we are very happy with that. We belong to this family of classified growth. We think we're quite successful amongst the fourth classified growth, if not the most successful. But I think it's not that important. Important is the quality of the wine you deliver today. Importance is the recognition of your customers, and we all work for that and not for a classification, which is just a judgment, which is arguable. The recognition of, and the, you mentioned the word loyalty, the recognition and loyalty of the customers is for me far more important and comes year after year after year.
That's good to know. So let's talk a little bit more about the viticulture, you know, your philosophy behind grape growing. And obviously there is the topic of organic farming. So what is your philosophy when it comes to carrying out, you know, whether it's harvest or even to grape growing?
So the philosophy has got different branches, but is to get the best fruit we can get. What does the best fruit mean? It means extremely good quality, extremely ripe, and extremely healthy fruit. Then to get a good fruit, you need a great terroir. And to need a great terroir, you have to be lucky enough and privileged enough to be at the right place, because you can't do that anywhere. You do that where it's permitted. You do that where you've got history. But then you have to respect and to make the best to take care of this environment, which is precious, which costs a lot, and which has been used for centuries. And the goal is to pass it to the next one so that it lasts for many, many years ahead of us. And that's what we always focus on. And we always try to make decisions considering how can we make sure we don't damage anything? How can we make sure we protect? How can we make sure it will last? And my goal, when I arrived at Bechevel, I was given one goal: transmit it in a better situation than you got it in the first place. And I think that's what we're doing. And that's what we have to do for the vineyard, not only a winery, not only a building, but as well the vineyard. So you mentioned organic farming. Organic is very strictly controlled in France or in Europe. So I'm careful with my words. We are doing a lot of efforts to ban every products which are very harmful. If we could ban them all, we would do it, but it's unfortunately not possible, I think, in Bordeaux. So we have to keep doing it. But we are absolutely low inputs. We do all, for example, fertilizers are organic. They can be compost made on the property or purchased, but with an organic reference. We banned all herbicides long years ago in 08. So not a single drop of herbicide has been sprayed in the vineyard since 08. We banned many bad products. But on the other end, I'm sorry to say, we feel a little bit compelled to use some of this stuff as professionally as we can to make sure we've got a good crop at the end of the game.
Yeah, well, I'm not a big organic fan, not because that I think it's not good, but I visited Spain once. So I do a little bit of visiting for some of the wineries in Rioja. And I met this winemaker for the love of my life. I can't remember his name and the bodega's name, but he's 80 years old. And he was saying that when brought up the topic of spraying and being organic, he did say that if your kids are sick, do you not give them medicine? You have to, because you just leave it up to chance. And that's usually not the case. So I can completely understand that when there's a need to use countermeasures like that, it's because there's absolutely need to ensure quality and pristine. What about harvest yield? I understand that over the years, maybe since the time that you have taken over the helm, has the yield inclusion, have they been different?
Well, we could say that in the recent years, as an average, yields are more or less going down. They can go down because of hardships like frost when it happens, or hail, or drought. Probably a major threat for the futures now is drought or overheat. We nearly had that in 22, so that will be a major challenge. As you know, in Bordeaux, and generally speaking, with some exceptions in France, we don't irrigate. We wouldn't get any water to irrigate anyway. So no irrigation is permitted or possible. So we have to find ways of, with varieties or with the vineyard management or with other ways, to keep going in situation where you've got less water than before. But basically, it's not immediate threat. It may be for the next decades, but it's something we think of and we try to find issues and to find ways of solving that for the future.
Yeah. So that yield is more about if you have issues with the harvest or not. What about quality? I'm sure that because of the enhancement of better quality over the years, you are also reducing your own yield inclusion.
What's important to figure out as well, I'm not an example of people dreaming of having the smallest quantity as possible and selling you then that having the smallest quantity, you've got the best quality. You have to figure out that we are in Médoc with vineyard. We call that high density planting, which is between 8,000 to 10,000 vines per hectare. Mm-hmm. And which allows, when you look at what one single vine produces allows reasonable yields. And so I think we can make very good wines without considering having extremely low yields. And I think it's dangerous to consider extremely low yields as the only solution for quality. I don't think so. And I think maybe even with global warming, maybe a reduction of the negative effects, especially on alcohol level, which could fetch too high levels, is to have higher yields to counterbalance this effect. If you concentrate far too much, you'll get beyond the limit and you'll be too high. And economically as well, there are limits about yields. And a good example is what we've got at Beaumont, where we have hardships. And for example, 22, we lost nearly half or nearly more than half of the crop. And that's really below the admitted economically yield.
Yeah, that's good to know. Well, it's funny that you mentioned about global warming, but I will come to global warming in a bit. I would like to talk a little bit more about the wines that you've showed. So, like, we understand, I mean, we just did a masterclass conducted by you. What truly sets your second and your third wines apart from one another, or maybe even from a Grand Vin?
So I would say just first and second as a selection that the third wine, this one is a different one, is a different appellation. So there is no link of selection between them. Mm-hmm. Different grapes from different appellation, no mixing. So it's not a third wine, it's another wine. Between Amiral and Bechevel, there is a selection. We could decide to make only Amiral or to make only Bechevel. It would be permitted. The regulation permits that. Nothing obliged to make a second wine. Nothing obliged to make X percent. You decide what you want and what you think is good for you and your customers. So what we try when we make that is to try to get the best and to be at the level of the expectation you have from a wine like Bechevel. And what is very good, we hope, but not exactly as complex, as deep, as structure, will become Amiral, which most of it comes from a single vineyard, separate vineyard. Mm-hmm. And 90% of it comes from a separate vineyard located south of Saint-Julien. And the rest is in the Grand Vin.
I see. Well, it's good to know. And the logo is very iconic. Could you tell us a bit more about the dragon boat?
So maybe we'll start not with the dragon boat, but with Bechevel. Mm-hmm. The story maybe is easier to start with Bechevel. Bechevel means Bech is lower. Bessé, French word is Bessé, lower. And Vel is the sail. In Spanish, it's vela. Uh-huh. So that's coming from old dialect from the southwest, and they were calling Bechavela, lower the sail.
Okay.
So that's the name of Bechevel, and then it became the village, and it was all the surroundings owned by very, very famous and powerful owners in the 17th century, 16th, 17th century. And then to show these boats which lower the sail, they showed a boat with the sail half-mast, and then it looks like it. But the boats which were considered were very basic boats on the river. The river is the Gironde, the estuary, which is half a mile or 900 meters away from the chateau. You can see it from the terrace of the chateau. And they were a very common boat. But as the owners were always aristocrats and noble persons, they wanted to make it more noble in a way. And they put at the prow of the boat a griffin.
Oh, it's a griffin, yeah.
And the griffin was eagle and lion in the mythology. And he was taking care of the wine of Bacchus, the god of wine, or Dionysos, if you're with Greek, and Bacchus with Latins. And then it become like, people said, and they said, oh, it looks like a Viking boat.
Yeah.
Because Viking boats look a little bit like that. Although there is no link with Vikings.
I see.
But then when in the 90s, Asia, we mentioned Asia before, Asian customers and Chinese customers saw that, they didn't read Bechevel, as I can't read Chinese characters, they can't read this one. And they said, oh, it's a dragon boat.
Yeah.
And they called it a dragon boat. And dragon is very famous
in Asia. Yeah.
And in Asia. And so it was a good logo, and it was not designed for that. It was a good coincidence,
yeah.
Happy coincidence. And so that's why it's called Dragon Boat in Asia.
Yeah, okay. Oh, that explains a lot. I learned a little bit about history now. And, you know, since we're talking about Asia, and because your wines have been very popular over the years. In fact, I think Bordeaux wines have escalated in terms of demand. There's a lot of counterfeit wines out there. Has Bechervel taken, you know, the extra step to fight such counterfeit wines?
So it's a real issue. Sometimes it comes from your backyard and you're sad and you're puzzled that it comes from your backyard. What do I mean? Sometimes it comes from Bordeaux itself, which is very unpleasant, but it may happen. And most of the time it comes, to be honest, with China. Mm-hmm. And we fight a lot. We fight a lot with lawyers and attorneys to protect the brand. And I must say that the authorities have done a tremendous improvement today in China to protect the brands from Bordeaux and from elsewhere. And more judgments, trial results are beneficial for the brands, and it's very encouraging. Then to be a bit more technical, in vintage, from the vintage 2010, we decided to try to improve the protection, which doesn't prevent fakes to be made because you can't help it. But the idea was to give an insurance to the real buyers that they've got a real bottle. So we made this QR code. And this hologram, which has got a number, special digit seri for each bottle, unique for each bottle. And then it's related to a database. And then you can ask to the database if this number has been really produced by the property.
I see.
And if it's in the database, it makes it likely that it has been. Now, if people ask 1 million times, there will be warning. We say, oh, there is something wrong with this requirement. Because if they ask 1 million times the same number, when normally you've got one bottle with the same number, there is a problem of counterfeit.
Okay,
that's an issue. That's what's important is that people who pay the right price and who wants the right products are ensured that they've got a Bechervel wine and not a fake one.
Good to know. Okay, I have one last question before we end. That will be on global warming, which is something that you've brought up kindly. Have any significant measures been taken, taken to place? Any change in your cipage to counterbalance the global warming issue?
So as we shared before, that's a real issue and a real threat for the coming years or decades. At the moment, I think, except what you mentioned before in talking about yields, we have no real bad effects about global warming. We've got sometimes weather a little bit more violent, can be frost in spring, which has been a bit devastating recent years, in like 17 or 21, and having effects on vines, which is already grown. So the effect is devastating. And we talked about drought. So we've got counter effects, but to be honest, at the moment, we are more benefiting for global warming. We make grapes which are absolutely right at the highest level of ripeness, and I think we make better ones. But it's a threat for some varieties, like you mentioned varieties. Merlot is under threat, but we think we've made the best Merlot ever in 22, so no rush. And we will consider, but slowly, new varieties, maybe, trying new varieties. It will come. It's starting in Bordeaux with varieties coming from Spain or Portugal mainly, or new techniques, although they have to be approved. It's a slow process. For example, shading the vines or having, I said, a higher level of crops. So it's a major thing that, and all the profession is working on it together, to try to find the right way to. But I think it's not just the winemakers or just the wine industry. It's all of us as a society, as societies, and we must change some of things we have the habit of doing to try to reduce the trend, which is a dangerous trend.
I see. Yeah, so there's a lot of trials and there will be time taken to get that done. I see. Well, I think this is a good time to also wrap up our interview. And, you know, thank you so much for providing
thank you for having me again.
For it. Well, I look forward to seeing the rest of my drinking comrades on another episode. But I look forward to seeing you in Saint Julien one day.
Thank you, Sean. The door is open for you. The door is open for you customers. And we like to welcome people. We are a place of accommodation. We are a place of sharing. We are a place of visiting. So do not hesitate. Come and visit us. Go on the website. Organize your trip. And we'll be delighted to help and we'll be delighted to welcome. Merci beaucoup.
Merci beaucoup. Thank you so much.
Merci à vous.